Okay, now we're doing our second audio commentary for the April 10th, 2011 commentary. The two topics to discuss here, first one is why the Eliades Megatees that he's drawn in here, which cover enormously long time periods, can technically come out. That's based on echoing. My old business used to be in radar, and it's surprising how you can make echoes develop a very precise, and I'll give you an example on that, which shows you how this can happen. The gist of it is that it's in order to get very high accuracy, you have to have well-defined turning points at the center post of the tee and the left end of the tee, and that can be problematic. We don't know, for example, in the green mega tee, which is the number two, you're coming out of a well-defined 82 bottom, and then what he's done is he's kept the center post. He's just T3 is just the same left end with the center post moved over to the about a little less than 2 years. And because of time symmetries are involve echoes, anytime you move the target away, the total time for the echo to come back has to be twice the delay in the moving of the target, and so that you can say that if the Eliades Megatee number two was projected to, by time symmetry on the calendar basis, was to project at top on 6/4 of 2007, the new date must be just twice the number of days between the 82 low and the 84 low. And on that basis, it comes out to be, as stated here, is 4/27. It's not 6/5. 6/5 is he shifted the he's counting for holidays. There is no symmetry into that one. We don't believe you use trading days over a long time period. You use it on a short term period because the market has to be open to absorb the symmetry. But over on the calendar basis, it's very. This is a sort of a big thing in T-theory because it's sort of like Halley's Comet. It comes back every, Halley's Comet, people, it's entirely predictable when it's going to come back, and people always want to go out and see it because it doesn't come back for a long time after you've seen it, and you probably only see it once in your lifetime because unless you're very young. When T number three goes out, it's going to be, it's going to flash by with an echo that's coming back from the 50s and bouncing off of the 84 low, and it's going to just materialize on you like a freight train coming down a track. It just goes whoosh by you and it's gone, and then you have to live with the consequences of it. And it's not very interesting after that. It's fabulously interesting when you're going up to the edge of it because it's going to spring a surprise. But there could be other surprises. A simple example to show you what the problems in getting this thing to come out right is that with the advent of lasers, you can measure the distance from the Earth to the Moon very easily. You just send a sharp pulse out. You try to find a flat spot on the Moon where the seas are. That's just broadside, so when the beam comes in, the beam has width to it, and when it hits the Moon, it all comes back to you in a nice sharp pulse. And if you take the time between those, and you know the speed of light is a constant, and you know that it's a double trip, round trip, you can calculate the distance. In T's, it's the same problem, except it's a disturbance back in 78, which is caused by the peaking action. That's a major top in the advanced decline line going across the top there. Okay, that produces a disturbance that travels through real time. Doesn't go at the speed of light. It just goes at regular calendar time, and it hits the bottom. And then it gets reflected back into the present. And it has to be exactly a double. That's why T's always have to be time symmetrical, because it's an echo. Only the echo will produce a equal time symmetry over extremely long distances over very, very, very long times. So I have concluded that it's just basically an echo off the tubes. Now, one of the projects we doing for the seminar is, if you notice that we won't be showing this chart so much anymore because once the issue has been taken care of, but you see what Peter's done is he said there's two kinds of turning points. There's the possibility that if you look at the at the T's 2 and 3, he's taken the midpoint between two tops back in the 50s. Okay, but for Eliade's T number 1, he's just used a peak, which is the absolute peak. Okay, then on the bottoms, he's for that red T, he split the double bottom, basically 74-82. But on the blue T, he's just picked the green T, he's just picked a single low, and you notice that he has not produced a double bottom between the, he has not split the bottoms between the 82 and the 84 low, and drawn in a fourth T, and said that that was the for example that was the April of 2010 time period top. Okay. But if you believe the T's are all echoes, and you've got all these disturbances, and it's true that they're all replicas, all of the echoes and all of the possibilities have to be calculated, because it's very likely that had he split the double bottom here in the 82 and the other low, he would have gone back 1 year. Okay, he would have taken, he would remove the center post of another T about 1 year, and then the Eliade's T number would have shrunk back to this April 10th of a year ago, okay? And that is a top, okay? So it's entirely possible that the April top of last year was a split double bottom between the, where you put a new T in and you did the split bottoming the same way he did it for the red T, okay? So what you have to do, and I'm not going to get this done by the 27th of April, but by the time we do the September seminar, I'll have all the T's drawn in, which are basically all permutations and combinations, and that pretty much will answer the issue of the fact that is it disturbances from past peaks coming into lows that can be single lows or split double bottoms. And if it's true, then what you're just going to say is that the big T's just wipe out the small T's. And then it turns out, well, what about, do we have more of these, any more of these T's running around here? And the answer is probably not any of the big ones. That's what makes the potential. Let's get back to Nenner's question now. He's saying it's sort of an erosion top pattern, which is entirely possible, okay? But these T's don't make erosion patterns. They make sharp tops, okay? And it is the last one. And you are seeing concerns. You know, the country, U.S. is basically bankrupt. And they saved $39 billion in a hassle. $39 billion is peanuts, what you're doing. Plus, everybody's getting excited. And if you get into... you start getting people excited, they don't want to buy anything, so you get back into the double dip case going in again. And most of the Wall Street is pretty good at anticipating that they don't like it, they sell, and that's not an erosion top. But it could be an erosion top. But the mechanism is all clear there, that you can do all of this stuff with long-term echoes, and long-term on the assumption that it is an echo phenomenon. So there's no particular reason to just doubt that it could be the 27th. The question is the bottom in 84 the kind that gives you a nice sharp echo, or is it distributed? If you send a laser beam, instead of going flat onto the moon, you go out to the edge of the moon where it's going away from you, and you catch some kind of a mountain range, you'll get all kinds of echoes coming back one on top of the other, and they'll be distributed in time. And that's the equivalent of getting a broad top, because there's just too many ways the echoes can be developed. And they're all slightly different in time. So it is possible that it's entirely possible and very probable that you'll have a series of tops. The question is, can you roll an advanced Klein line over very sharply and then not let it come back up again? And that's why we need the advanced Klein chart. Okay, so that's enough about the theory aspect. Now, you'll notice that one of the things that I've been commenting on, because you have this other T that goes out into June, which is the Tocqueville gold T, and I mentioned that I thought that the precious metals is in a bubble. It's the same thing as the stock market. They took all this money out. They gave away this free money, and people put it into stocks. And then somebody else had the idea they put it in hard assets because they didn't find anything else they wanted to put it in. So it's entirely possible that the assets that are being inflated are just a parallel example of the equities have been inflated, and. To answer Linda's question, you have to wait until the bubble is broken, just to find out what was the story. If a lot of money was generated and it was thrown in and it did some permanent good, the market will stay up. If it was a completely phony bubble, was the assets were put into something that is of no future value to anybody except a bunch of traders who are trying to make money and push their own positions up, then it'll collapse on you fast, and you'll get pricked by that bubble goes out. Definition of a bubble is, is like when somebody blows a soap bubble. It's this big shiny thing that looks like it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but one day it pops because there's actually nothing in it. It's just a very thin film, but it's glitzy looking. And it's entirely possible that this bubble is going to get pinched next week, because I asked Parker to come up with some. Parker had been doing all the stuff on saying what these dates are, but there's a problem in T theory. It's not mechanically about the short range T's. It's what's going on in the bigger T's, as if they happen to have anything to say. Most of the time, big T's don't come by. And this T, when it's gone, then we won't be able to draw anymore big T's. You have to try something else maybe, but that'll be like the 14th advanced decline T. But they when they come around, they can make strange things happening, and they're very fast and they're very powerful, because big cycles make big dents in the world. So I suspect that the gradual topping phase is a just he's got a lot of things going on. It averages out that way, but as far as these advanced decline T's, this big advanced decline T here, I would imagine they're just going to do some smashing when they get around to it. Now, and Parker's in this week, Parker's now looking at the precious metals, because we have an interest in that, because we have this long range Tocqueville gold tea that comes up with the June top. But I did notice that he does have a very clear case of a gold tea, which is he has the weekly one. First one is the weekly one, and that no, he has the daily one first of all, and that top is coming within a matter of a few days. Okay, so a lot of times you just see the gold in the market, they're running on the same bubble. It may be that you just get a little brief rally here, and then everybody, the reality sets in that the oil price is probably more important than the gold price as far as what's going on, because you're gonna that affects more people than the gold price does. But anyway, that's an interesting case, but it still has the ambiguity as to where the weekly one comes up. So it's entirely possible that what you do is you get a sharp reaction to the downside, then you have to pick it up in June. And but you could still do a flash crash in between that, because the flash crash will get you oversold low enough where you will have a rally. Okay, now I must say that I've known Nick Overdow in the third chart. Nick Overdow was probably when I started out my business in the 70s. American Shoulders was formed in 74, and it wasn't too long after that that Nick Overdow came by and talked to me. And he's been 35 years trying to look at the market from multiple angles. And he discovered that there's a 150-day moving average, which by some odd set of coincidences is forming support lines. And I just wanted to mention to you that what he's discovered is which I have to do is to put trading bands around the gold, that's the center, that's the equivalent to the 56-day moving average that I have in my chart, the black line. You discover that because it turns out that the markets like to hang around, find support. Strong markets tend to have a tendency to want to hug the middle of the channel. And when you find that in a strong trend, like this trend here, it seems to be making the bottoms. It's very much like seeing the bottoms in a rising bull market hold near the black line, which is 56 days. The surprise is that it's 150 days, because most people that trade gold, they think they always want to look at little short-term pictures, but he's been around long enough to know that you just check them all. And here you find out that the defining moving average is an unusually long one, and it's about 7 months. So it turns out that the gold mega T, which is comes down from 80 to 2000, then goes 20 years up to 2020, is a 40-year cycle, which we find in the stock market too. But the you can now put Keltner bands around the 150-day moving average, and if you adjust the parameters, you'll end up with a trading angle. And so what everybody's going to do is say, okay, all right, so it's got this cyclical pattern, and they're going to come over and they're going to say, okay, so we'll anticipate the next cyclical pattern, and the low should be on the 150-day moving average. That's true, except that if the money that's been, the free money that's come out has gone into a speculation and there's a bubble in the precious metals that is along with all other commodities and so forth, and that thing ever crashes on you, you'll go under the line. So this could be the case where you see the pattern that just before it's going to break and it's going to change over. So you may want to be warned about that one. Conversely, you'd say that by the time you get into July, that this gold metal will be under the moving average, and you'll be able to look back and see that that trend ended. And it's a matter of guilt by association. Everybody bought the story that gold was going up, so that they rushed into commodities, but they don't really care about commodities, and it's not doing anybody any good. Anything. So you have a long-term bullish picture for gold, which has caught speculative fever, and it shows up basically in the silver market. So silver's done fantastically as well, and that's the poor man's gold. And so it's all small investors; they're the ones that always get carried away with this stuff. So anyway, so that's the story on that angle, and I think that probably covers everything we need to talk about for this week. Next week we'll start into that'll be the 17th. We're getting kind of close to the 27th, and we have another report after that to do on Sunday. But we'll just zero in on this, and this is a good way to look at everything. The May 24th cyclical is a top. I said that was a bottom. I misspoke on that earlier part. But you can read all of that other stuff in the archives, and then this stuff here will go into the archives, so you can always come back and pick it up. Okay, thanks for checking in. Have a good week, and we'll be back next Sunday. Bye-bye.